Exactly. So back to Shui Das. We don't have to do it now. It's whatever you
want.
No, pretty.
No, 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 no.
Okay. It's all okay. All right. So I guess we'll do the passage of Joy Bez Hashem. Today we're going to talk about that every second counts. That's Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer is that every second counts. Everything counts. Every day, this day is the day. I don't care what you spoke about before. So one of the natural outgrowths of the knowledge that every second counts is a person does his best to make Seder. He does his best to do things in orderly fashion as well, as much as he can. Because otherwise he just finishes his day. You turn around and you say, what happened to that day? I wanted to learn this, I wanted to do that. If you don't have a particular time, a person goes to yeshiva, a person hasn't time last year, so whatever it is, he makes times. There's time for this, time for that. So it's one thing. But if you don't have anything orderly, if you don't have, so then what are you, how are you supposed to, how are you going to do it? He says, you know, if you look around Hashem, everything has an order, natural order of things, there's an order. The sun rises the same time every day, the moon, everything is a particular time. He said, if there wasn't that things were exactly orderly, and this is one of the hardest things for evolution. It just doesn't work so well. It's just too organized. It's too organized and it's too exact. It's just, it would be much more simple and less organized. It would have to be somewhat more chaotic. And we don't see that at all. It's all exactly like, it looks like a plan. It looks like an exact plan. And any little change in many, many different parts of the human body or parts of nature, a little change in this no ecology destroyed everything. Little change. Sun's 5 miles closer or further away.
I mean, the only examples they gave for Darwin's theory happened to be with bugs. And it's like, it's relevant. I mean, their major theory was totally irrelevant to the whole world.
Well, yeah, we don't
know. I mean, whether a moth has white wings or dark wings. Mm-hmm. But still, he can still fly, he can still eat.
Yes, it seems to be. I mean, it's even more than that. They found that, I don't remember where it was, sharks. They found that sharks adjusted themselves within like 10 years. There was a problem in the water, and they I don't know about natural selection, but it didn't take any big time. And they right away dealt with it. There's something built in to adjust. And they're like, well, this seems to be a complete, total opposite of the whole theory of natural selection. And it's all like the opposite. So that's a big question mark for them. But I mean, this theory is being reevaluated all the time and readjusted all the time. But the bottom line is, there's such an organization. It's like, how did this happen? It happens, it happens.
The other study they made was immigration of Britons to British colonies throughout the world. They didn't adapt. Because a Briton in Australia, a Briton in South Africa, and a Briton in Britain or America are basically the same after 200 or 300 years. Whereas you would assume that a Briton in South Africa would become black skinned, and a Briton in Australia would be dark skinned, and a Briton in New York would be lighter skinned. And they didn't change after 200 or 300 years.
Certainly interesting, certainly fascinating. I don't know, these things are beyond me.
The
skin color. So the whole theory of evolution just tossed out.
I don't know. I'll just say one, the idea here is the order, we have to emulate the order as much as we can. That means, let's say, like Rabbi Nachman says, every day learn a certain amount. So we try to keep that as much as we can. If Rav Kivat would say there's two different levels. On the one hand, you have to have the amount you want to learn, and then you have to have the minimum. Two lines, I'll for sure learn Blin Neder. Two lines in the second, learn two lines, no matter what, if possible. Now, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work for you. Just have little time, and but at least the minimum to make sure you do it every day. Learn a little Zohar every day. Learn a little Zohar. Learn two lines of a little Zohar. If you have time, learn several pages. Do what you can. But not to let go and to try to be as much as possible to be keep things as orderly as they can, to be very, very careful about those things. That's one of the biggest ways a person gets successful. A little bit what he can do, he gets successful, and he's able to be focused. The more I'm not put together, the more I'm less orderly, the less I have an easy time organizing my thoughts, keeping things steady. That's how he explains. So he says, this brings joy. He says, so be very careful. Emulate Hashem in this, is that you're going to be very, very successful and very happy. So we have to know that the minute I know, really know, the minute I really, really understand and know that every day counts, that every second counts, so I'll try to do whatever I can to make it actually count. If I know it counts, so I have to do what I can to make it count. So in Rambam of Nachman, Rambam of Nachman would say, a person who doesn't have a watch, he doesn't pay attention to time, he's not a human being. It's all haphazard by him. Oh, I missed this, oh, I missed 2 hours, 10 hours. You don't have your time, you have to do it. So the person who always lives by the watch, he never has his continuity, is... what does he say? No, he says, if you don't have a watch, you're not going to get anything done the way you should. So the person who's always on the watch is not a human being. That's what he said. I get it. So Rav Levi Yitzchak came to visit the vendor. He said, the day, the night before, could you please come to my bris tomorrow? He says, oh, why are you telling me now? It's so late. I'm going to be a son in a bris. I have to learn a little more the day before and not speak as much. I have less time. I have to make up all my... Everything was calibrated. I can't. It's so hard for me now. I have to make it later. I don't like to make it later. Like, he has all to do with you. He comes over every year. He felt like what you messed me up. Let me know early so I can plan. Because obviously, duh, if I have to give you an hour, half hour of my time, I need to make it up somehow. So I'll spend a little time speaking with people. I'll find a way. It's not. He was Mr. Seder. He was very, very, very Mr. Seder. So Rav Nachman explains that after Sfiras HaOmer, we're supposed to get to a place where we're so attuned to the time, the timing, that we don't even need to count. It was 34 days, and it's 35 days, and so it's all, whatever it may be. We don't need to count anymore because it's all clear to me. It's all exactly how it's supposed to be. It's all perfectly calibrated. And I know it counts. It's part of who I am. It's not going to count now. Days, I'm on a different level of realizing that time counts. Every day counts, and every second counts, and I have to make it count. And that means having the yeshiva das to have a seder, the siddur. If a person is able to learn a particular amount, but even if you can't learn a particular amount, at least be focused and understand enough to say, you know, I'm going to have things be the way they're supposed to be, and I'm going to, with Hashem's help, be able to make things work the way they're supposed to work. Things shine the way they're supposed to shine. Pick up these hours, pick up this time, elevate it by using it to learn, to help others, to have times, to be able to watch the time. Rav Nachman would say, if I had the chime, if I had the ability, I would have everyone learn a particular thing. Everyone have, they have to learn this. Stuff like younger, maybe, whatever it may be. Everyone, you have to do this. You can't not do this. It's very, very essential. You can't skip on this. It's very important. Everyone has to do that. That's the...
You choose something.
Yeah. Make sure. That's part of... Actually, part of the purpose of Defa Yomi is to... it was a breastfeeder who sort of told me to appear about this idea of the Defa Day. It was part of based on this people over in Akron, actually. Like, everyone doing... Everywhere, whoever you are, you do this much learning, at least. You know, Rabbi Shapiro said that that's a daf. Rabbi Akiva said he said that there was a ship. He was on a ship and it went down. Everyone thought he was dead. And he came. He was he got into shore. I said, how'd you make it? He said there was a daf on the water, and I grabbed hold. And when the wave came, I bent my head and I floated in. So Rabbi Shapiro then said, that's the daf. you're dafayomi. You hold on. You're able to navigate the ups and downs of life. You're very strong. You're sure connected to the Torah. That's how he explained. So, being able to put things by saying, I'm going to make my time count. Time counts for me. It's not so simple to get this really ingrained. Kelly literally worked hard on this. Very hard. Very, very hard. What's his name? I forgot who he was. One of the big Kelma Tamidim. He said his son was very ill. He had to go to doctors all the time. He said, I have to go to doctors all the time. He said, someone in my position wouldn't learn a word. I can learn anything. I can learn. Let's be Hirschberg, I think is his name. Can't learn anything. He said, but I did learn. He said, so in my position wouldn't be open to Gemara. He doesn't have a head. His hands were taken up by the doctor. He said, with me, you do your best. Everything that counts. When you have the time, you open the mouth. Relax, don't let anything move you so fast. Don't let anything confuse you. Just you have time, open your mind, do your learning. There you have little books, keep a little book in your pocket, have time to flip it out. Read a little more, another paragraph, another line, another little bit. And then every second counts. Seder is very, very important. I mean, so he said, I managed to, do a lot of learning. Someone was very ill, and he managed to do a lot of learning because he was focused on Seder. The Avraham Kalman says, how much Hashem loves, does Hashem love a person who does things like he wants him to do, like he does? Keep a Seder, be Mesuder as much as possible. Very, very important. The Avraham Kalman explained that the Rav Chaim of Lozner would say, when you're done learning, you should stop learning even when you just said Amar Rava. You didn't finish it. You're done. Your time is up, you're timed out, and now you have to think, if you're going to be organizing your time in a way where you lose time for something else, you stop. And you make sure to start again right where you were. The Chazanish said, someone's so foolish. He said, he's such a fool, he doesn't have time to learn only a few words. So learn those few words. Grab onto those few words, they're forever. Man, I can't get anywhere, I can't do anything online, there's an old school, of course. The minute you don't have a book or anything to really do, or just to think about Torah or connecting to Hashem, or exposure to something, you're not in that mode, you're not in that mindset, you're too taru, you're too focused on what you need to do, and it's just hard for you. I find there's a school for your things you need to take care of will take a very long time. So, well, if you bring a book and you're ready to gung-ho about learning it, it goes real quick. Chabad Chaim said about a certain young man who took over his father's business. His father passed away, and his father had a lot of clients, and him, it didn't work so well. So he asked Chabad Chaim, what's going on? He said, what did your father do when there were no clients? He said, he learned. And you read the paper. He says, that's the reason. Your Yitzhara wants to cooperate with your efforts to read the paper, so he keeps clients away. Your father, he was fighting. No learning. Getting clients. So if you're pleasant, we're in a mindset that it's spiritual, it's good. So I find it takes a lot less time. All these things are just a bit. And if not, then you learn. You learn what you need to learn. Okay, you learn. So what's the deal? You learn. You know what you need to learn. You're really shopping, you can take out a zone, nothing will happen, you take your shalom, learn, whatever you learn. Little books, whatever you need, you have a little safer, you pull it out, a little bit, do your Seder, Amud Yomi, Daf Yomi, whatever you do, whatever you're
home. For Daf Yomi, there are hundreds of podcasts. The OU, Daf Yomi podcasts, you name it, everyone has a podcast on, a daily podcast.
Beautiful.
And they have these little MP3 players that are really inexpensive. You just clip them to your shirt, your earbuds, and you can in 20 minutes of just waiting for a bus, you can hear a daf.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of different sayings out there, Baruch Hashem. And it's very beautiful. We're very lucky. Technology has a lot of opportunities and also a lot of opposite opportunities. Wrong kind of opportunities, but there's a lot of opportunities. There's no doubt about it. No question.
There was some
rebel
on the
shots
in 5 minutes.
There was
somebody.
Yeah,
a few.
Some
sofa.
Some
sofa
about himself and
5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. They won't waste. I learned. This is my special team. Made special. I forgot. There are a few people. Some sofa was very happy. This is my best. My favorite. completion of shas, because that was the few minutes everyone waste their time and just don't, you know, tell this, tell the food out, tell this, open a book, you learn. Again, having the Yeshiva Das to know is important. To realize the time counts, it counts, it means something. So then, you gotta do it. You gotta grab hold of it. It's gotta be real. It's not just to mean something theoretically. It's real, so it's real. That's the Rothschild. I don't know if I told the story here, I remember. Rothschild, how did he become wealthy? He heard about might have told it, I don't remember. He heard about his country was at war with another country. And there were these bonds that were very, very secure from the bank of other countries, because they become, of course, worth very little money. And when he noticed that they were starting to like tidy things up, it looked like they were ending the war, he went, walked around from city to city, town to town, and bought up these bonds for pennies. A little more than the going rate if there was a war. And when he was paying attention that the war is ending, he turned to the bonds. Bonds looked like they're being worth a lot less. So he made like 20 times his money or something. And that's what he started to really have a lot of capital. So he says, if you had an opportunity to buy a bond like that, you knew the war was going to end, you're not going to talk to anyone. You're not going to say, well, if my friend's doing this, you won't say anything, you'll grab hold. He says the same thing when it's hard, that's when it's the most precious, when it's Erev Shabbos. When Shabbos, people aren't learning, Erev Shabbos says that's the most precious time to learn. See, you'll make time. If it's real to you, you'll do it. It's real. You have to really try to get to a place where it's real to me. I know the value of his photos, so when I'm walking down the street, when I'm doing it, I'm just going to please Hashem with the heart to actualize me. Stop being just potential. I'll be real. I'll be actual. I'll be real. I create my neshama. There's levels of my neshama that are not coming into my body because I'm pushing them out. Let me open up to them. Open up and then be a different person, shining or connected. Help me.
There's also every day Shiach or a certain amount of Shabbat Chachma coming down. So a person learns when other people are not learning, it's more that Shiach or Chachma that's coming down.
That's a very high. It's higher. It's much more. He gets higher of everyone, it says. It's a word for it. That's why the Alpha Kham uses this muscle. Rothschild, you see, you're gonna get bonds that are gonna worth 20 times more. Do it! Grab hold! Go for it! It's not pushing. Learning when it's hard is like very, very not simple. Koach, where it goes, what it can do. It's unbelievable. Koach, which doesn't end. Endless koach. There was a certain young man, it's actually Chaim Shmuel Levitz. So Chaim Shmuel Levitz had a question for many, many years. A question, a particular sugya, and he didn't understand. And he was reading a Torah journal, and he saw a perfect answer, unbelievable answer, from this young man who was like, you know, pretty average, you know, scholarly, you know, to learn, but like, you know, nothing stellar about him. So called him and said, what an answer. How did you come up with that answer? I'm working on this for 20 years. Not a slouch. He was really brilliant, very great. Every second of his time was Torah, Torah, Torah. And this answer is perfect. I never would have thought of this. It was very, very beautiful. How did this come to you? He said, I never told anyone, but since you're asking me, I'll tell you. You're right, this is not the level I usually get to. This is an unusual gift. He said, my wife was in labor, and towards the end, and the doctors said, you know, it's either the baby or your wife. Tell us what to do. I didn't know what to do. Now, disclaimer, I'm not saying that we should do what this person did. I don't know, he was a little bit, I guess he was very nervous. He's like, you know, Torah has the power to do anything. I'm just going to learn. I'm not going to tell them to kill my wife. I'm not going to tell them to kill the baby. I'm just going to learn. Again, I'm not saying that this was a clever decision in terms of, you know, I don't know if I would recommend something. You know, just learn. It'll be okay. I wouldn't take responsibility. I don't know. He did it. It's a story that happened. It's not. We're not judging whether he should have done it. He did it. And maybe he should have. Maybe some person gets an idea and he happens to get to, he finds the way out. So he went to learn. And so I learned the sugya, and I was worried, but eventually I just forgot the whole thing. Hashem, you just help me, please. I'll learn, you'll help me. So he started to learn. He said, I had this question also for a while. He said, as I'm working on it, I came up with this beautiful answer. So when I finished with it, I said, oh my gosh, who knows what happened? He said, I ran back to the hospital. He said, we don't know what happened. Everything corrected itself. The whole problem corrected itself. Everything was fine. We don't understand how it could happen. He said, oh, now I know Torah with such precious nefesh. That has the power. The other thing is when Torah wins hard, I'm just hot, it's hard. That has the power to really, really bring you places. will cost. So again, I'm not recommending, no matter what, you know, if you're, you know, someone's first day, just don't help him. Just open the Gemara. I didn't say that. I can't say Chas v'Shalom, don't do such a thing. Even though the Torah has a power which is higher than saving a life, the Gemara tells us. But you need to save the life. First of all, it certainly is not meant that way. It just has a koach. So we have to know that every little bit of learning, every little bit of it's hard, especially, it's very precious. We're like Rothschild making this money, this unbelievable windfall. We just have to get the Seder, organize our thoughts. He said, help with thoughts also. When your thoughts are organized, you're used to focusing on the Seder. It's much easier to think the way you're supposed to think.
Since you have very bad headaches or something, you really didn't feel good at all. She told her grandson, please learn the Shnei Askinim from it.
Not aware.
The poor, the Shnei Askinim.
So. I mean, the Shnei Askinim, it says that it's a... thank you for reminding me. Yeah, thank you for reminding me.
She felt bad when she
after he sat around
for her.
It has a koach.
It's for Yeshua.
It's very hard. When you learn it, you'll see. It's a very, very hard. The first part is good, easy.
It's hard.
Wow. First part's easy. It's for the school of Yeshua's.
It's very hard.
Then you have the same cases with the person messing up and the coin messing up. The same mistakes. It's extremely, you put your head in knots.
Yeah.
I remember learning that. It's quite fun. By the time I learned it a bunch of times.
With English, it was still interesting.
I don't know, but never learned with English, I don't think. Never learned with English. Again, I don't think so. Maybe I did. Maybe I made a mistake. I did get an English impossible. I got an English Kanti. It's possible. I don't remember. But I know that this last time with Nafayomi was the first time I felt like I maybe understood something. I just didn't. Like a little. You just get the data. I sort of get it. If you want to understand it, not just, it's hard. Oh, this you're going to put above, this you're going to put below, and you mix them up, and you mix up this, you say this way, you say that way, you say the other way. It's the same case with the person messing it up, the cone messing up, the same mess ups, and the same conclusions.
Yeah.
What is going on? It gets more and more complicated.
Yeah.
It's quite short.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
Yeah.
But it's brought them to school, I forgot who brings it down.
Yeah.
The Kamahurish brings it down as a school.
It's
very hard. It's like, again, you're mysterious. Never for Torah. Anyway, first we have to try to be organized to do what we need to do. Like Hashem does. I think it's the way that's how it all comes. Bring to simple.